All right. Good morning, Central. How are you today? Awesome. You look great. If you're watching us live stream this morning, wherever you are, maybe you're in the concourse, maybe you're in overflow. We're just glad you're worshiping with us this morning. And those of you that are here live, I have the privilege of introducing our speaker this morning. So about 2.5 years ago, my daughter Shannon, who lives outside of the St. Louis area, called and they were looking for a church. And she said, "Dad, we found the church that we're going to commit to, and it's got the big three. It's got the big three." She said, "It's got people that are warm, and it's a great community. We love. It's multi-ethnic. We just feel like we really fit in." She said, "The worship is off the charts," and she kept sending me videos of the song from Minister Shea there in the worship, and it's outstanding. And she said, "And the preaching, Dad, the preaching is awesome. He's way better than you are." No, she didn't say this. She's eternally loyal to her dad, but she loved the preaching. So whenever Charlene and I would travel to visit them, we would go to one family church in the St. Louis metro area and listen to Pastor Brent Rome preach. And we're really excited, not only that our daughter was there, but we got fed and we got ministered to whenever we were there. Brent's background, he's a lawyer by profession before he went into the ministry. So One Family Church there in St. Louis is involved in a lot of social justice issues, setting people free, giving people opportunities that they wouldn't have before. And so it's been a privilege for us to get to know Brent and his wife, Rebecca. Brent, come on up and minister God's word to us this morning.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, brother. Good morning, Central Church. It is genuinely a joy and an honor to be here. Aren't you glad for a second service when you have to spring forward? Anybody just skip the first service this morning? All right. It's a joy. It's an honor to be here. I love your church. There are three things I love about your church. There are more things, but three primary things. The first thing is your mission. You guys have an incredible mission of teaching people and helping people share the love of Jesus with their relational world. That is such a cool mission statement because it is very missional. It is designed to help you bring Jesus to your friends and your neighbors. I love that. I love your method. I love the mission. I love the method. Our church is 12 years old. This church is how many years old? 140 years old. So we're learning from you guys. Just know that our 12-year-old church in St. Louis, Missouri, whenever I'm with Pastor Jeff, I have a pen and a pad, and I'm like, okay, how do you guys do this? How do you do that? How do you do this? And we take strategies and methodologies back to our church, and we're grateful for that. So the mission, the method, and I love the man. You have an amazing pastor. His wife, Charlene, is incredible. They have built an amazing team and staff. The worship team was awesome this morning, but elders and trustees and board, you guys just have an awesome church, and I feel like you should give your pastor and yourselves a big round of applause because you're amazing. You are amazing. So thank you for the honor to come and preach to Central Church. I love our church. We're in St. Louis, Missouri. We planted it 12 years ago, and it is just an awesome, amazing group of people that have come together. They love Jesus. They love each other, and I love our congregation. But my very favorite congregation is this little six-person congregation, this five of them and me. This is my wife, Rebecca, and then my son, Jameson, my son, Lincoln, my other son, Augustine, and then my daughter, Eden. And I just praise the Lord that they all took after their mother and not like their father in the looks department. So they are a blessing. They're praying for us this morning. They send their love to you. Rebecca sends her love, Charlene. And so it's great. It's just great to be here. Now, last time I was here, my wife, Rebecca, was with us. And I don't know if you remember this. We were here a year ago. You guys had like 20-foot high piles of snow in your parking lot. Do you remember that? I've never seen that before. I mean, massive piles of snow. So this time I said, let me preach something that's going to resonate with these folks from Sioux Falls. So I'm going to preach to you today on the subject, how to weatherproof your life. How to weatherproof your life. If you want to show them that slide, how to weatherproof your life. Let's take a moment before we dive in. Let's bow our hearts. Let's bow our heads. Let's clear out any distractions, anything that's worrying us from the week. And let's focus our heart, soul, mind, and body on God. Father, we thank you for being here. We thank you. Your Holy Spirit is here right now, right in our hearts and in our minds. We thank you for your word. Your word is like seed that drops into the soil of our heart. And the seed is good. Let the soil be good. Let our hearts be receptive to receive what you have to say to us. Let your word take root in our heart. Let it begin to grow and let it produce much fruit. We love you. We honor you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. So in 2013, down in Tampa, Florida, there was a man that lived alone in his house. And one night, while this man was sleeping, in the middle of the night, without warning, unexpectedly, the ground below his house opened up, and the house and the appliances and the furniture and the man and everything associated with the house fell down into the earth, just got swallowed up by the earth. Here's a picture of the site as it looks today. This is down in Tampa, Florida. This happened in 2013 when the geologists and the engineers tried to figure out what in the world was going on. They discovered that the foundation under the house was unstable. The foundation under the house was made out of limestone, and acidic groundwater was running through that limestone, and it was tearing away the soil and the silt and the sand and the sediments, and pretty soon there were voids in the foundation, and because the foundation was compromised, the house could not stand. The weight of the house fell through the ground. Now, the engineers and geologists, they actually tried to fill the hole. And they filled it with concrete, and they filled it with, you know, gravel and cement and all this kind of stuff over the years. But nothing they put in there stayed because the foundation was too weak to bear the weight of anything that was placed upon it. Right. Now, when I read a story like that or see a story like that, because I'm a preacher, everything is a sermon illustration, all right? So I, as I'm reading the story, I literally think to myself, this is a metaphor for so many of our lives. So if you'll indulge me this morning, my wife is an art teacher. I'm not an art teacher. I'm not an artist. So I'm going to make this very simple. If you'll indulge me this morning and think of your life like a house. Think of your life as a house. And in that house, or associated with that house, is everything that you care about. Let's say your family. You care about your family. It's part of your life. Your friends and your oikos, right? These are your people. Your finances, you care about that. That's a big part of your life. How about your body, your health? We'll call that your fitness. Your fitness. Your career, all right? We'll call that your field. Maybe your mental health, your emotional health, your feelings, right? So on and on and on. Your faith, your spiritual life. Let's keep with the F's. Faith, there we go. All of these are aspects of your life that you care about. And let's say your life is a house. And these are all the pieces and parts of the house. The question that many of us face is, how do we keep our life, the house of our life, how do we keep it stable? How do we keep it firm? Because you and I know that there are going to be times when there are disruptions. There are storms, there are hardships, there are difficulties in all of these different areas of your life. You know that, well, in fact, some of you, I'll just say, some of you already know what it feels like for your life to have collapsed. At some point in your life, it's just something went off the rails and your life just fell apart. I can say that for myself. When I was in my 20s and I didn't have Jesus in my life, I didn't have the Lord in my life, I would start to rebuild my life and everything. I would get started and I would think like, man, I'm cruising along. And then something would happen and my life seems like it would just fall apart. Some of you have had that happen. In fact, some of you, the reason you're at church today is because your life has fallen apart and you're like, I need something. I just need something. I need some help. Now, that might not be all of you, but all of us know what it feels like, if not for our life to have collapsed. We all know what it feels like for our life to have been a little shaky in some area of our life. Some of you have experienced a divorce or lost a loved one. And so your family life has been a little shaky. There's been disruptions, hardships, difficulties in the relationship. The dynamics aren't working. The conflict isn't working. And you know what that's like. For your relationships, your family to be a little bit shaky, or your friendships, somebody said something or did something, there was a betrayal, and now your friendship with that person feels compromised and it's unstable. Some of you know what it's like. You've lost your job, or you've made an investment and it didn't work out, and so man, the when the end of the month came, you're not sure if you're going to be able to pay the bills, and the debt was racking up, and financially, your financial house was a little unstable. Some of you physically, there was a diagnosis or something happened in your body and an injury, or you know, and now you're like, man, I'm struggling in that area. Your career didn't go the way you wanted to. You had a mental health issue or emotional health challenge. You know, you were isolated or alienated for a long period of time. Maybe during the whole COVID thing, you're like by yourself. And when you emerge, you're like, I'm not the same person. Some of you have had shaky times in your faith. So all of us know what it's like for our house to be a little bit shaky. And the question that we ask today is, how do I keep my life strong? How do I maintain a stable, secure, and strong house? Not just for me, but for the people I love, for my kids, for my friends, for my oikos, for the people around me, my relational world. How do I stay strong? The answer to that question is right here. The question about how your life will remain strong is conditioned upon what is the foundation upon which your house is built. Is it a firm foundation or is it shaky ground? Now, you are asking this question about yourself, and I'm asking this question about myself because I want a firm life. You want a firm life. You want a life that is stable and strong and flourishing, and so do I. And it turns out we're not the first people to ask this question. Thousands of years ago, people were asking this question. They've been asking it for thousands of years. In the time of Jesus, people were asking this question because they were facing all of these same challenges and issues that you and I face. And not only were they facing these issues, but they were also facing the oppression of the Roman Empire that had gotten all mixed up in their world. So Rome was in their synagogues, it was in their temple, it was in their marketplace. Everywhere you look, there were Roman soldiers. So there was an instability not only to their personal life, but to their social and political life beyond. So they never knew what was going to happen in their life. If you said the wrong thing, you could be executed. You could end up on a cross, right? So there's instability everywhere. And so the people are coming to Jesus and they're going, how do we have a life that makes sense? How do we have a life that is strong and stable? How do we live a life that is secure? And if you read the teachings of Jesus, you're reading that right now because you're all in a series called The Invitation. And I love this series that you are in where you're learning about Jesus' invitation to join the kingdom of God and be a part of God's kingdom. And as a part of his invitation, Jesus went up on the mountain one day and he began to preach. They call the Sermon on the Mount, because he was on a mountain when he preached it. And he began to preach it, and it's the most brilliant sermon you've ever read. It's just beautiful. Like all of these truth bombs are just dropping about how to turn the other cheek and how to love your neighbor and how to love your enemy and how to give and how to fast and you know, how to pray and how to have a relationship with the Father. And he's preaching all of these incredible truths, and he's preaching with this level of authority that nobody had ever really heard before, because he wasn't preaching like the rabbis. He was preaching like as if, you know, he knew what he was talking about. And at the end of his sermon, he ends the sermon with this bold, audacious, crazy, wild claim that blew everybody's minds. Here's how he ended his sermon. This is how he ended his sermon. He ended his sermon, Matthew 7. He ended his sermon like this. He said, everybody who hears these words of mine, the words that I just preached, everyone who hears them and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But, he said, everybody who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. If you look at the Greek word for great crash, it's mega crash. The house just collapsed. Now, what I want you to notice is Jesus is saying something in this parable that I think we need to grasp for our own lives. Here's what he's saying. He's saying the stability of your life is not dependent on the strength of the storms. It's dependent on the firmness of your foundation. Now, I want you to get this, because it's really, really important that you understand, Jesus is not saying you will not face storms. He is not saying that we get a storm-free life when we follow him. In fact, he says it rains on the just and on the unjust. It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. It rains on the wise and the foolish. You and I are going to face hardships. We're going to face difficulties. We're going to face storms in our family, in our friendship, in our finance, in every aspect of life. We're going to face storms. We're going to face storms. In fact, he uses the exact same language when he's describing the storms that the wise man faces as the storms that the foolish man faces. Look at this passage. Let's look back at it. He says in verse 25, he says, the rain came down, the streams rose. This is about the wise man's house. And the winds blew and beat against that house. Beat against, the word that he uses there, prospipto, it's a Greek word. It's a strong word. It means to beat against, to rush violently upon, to slam against. He's using extremely emphatic language to say, hey, your life's going to get hit with some stuff, y'all. Okay. You're going to get hit. You're going to get slammed with some stuff. I just want you to know that. Does anybody play hockey here? We got any hockey players in the house? Any hockey players? No hockey player. One hockey player. Two hockey players. Okay, now they're coming. They're admitting it. Okay. All right. I played hockey one time in my life. The first and last time I played hockey, because I didn't know how hockey worked. When I was a kid, I'd never even seen it on TV. And we moved back to my where I live now in St. Louis, and everybody's a hockey fan. Blues hockey, you know, so all the kids play hockey. Well, I knew that you were supposed to put the puck in the goal. That's one thing I knew. But I didn't know that you were allowed to just run up and just smash people with your body. I didn't know that. I did not know that was part of the game. So the first and last time I played hockey, I'm in a driveway in Bridgeton, Missouri, out in St. Louis. And I'm like, oh, open net. I'm gonna shoot a goal and get a, you know, shoot the puck in the net and get a goal. And right as I'm about to shoot it, this dude that was playing on the other team just comes and body checks me off the driveway and into the neighboring yard. Like, I mean, I just go flying and I get up like, and I'm mad, but everybody else is like, I'm like, wait, you're allowed to do that? And they go, yeah, this is hockey, dude. Where are you from? Right? So that was the last time I played hockey. And I don't hold it against Brian from Bridgeton, but I've still thought about it a couple of times over the years. The reality is this. Jesus is saying, that's what's going to happen to your life. You're going to get hit with some stuff. You're going to get blindsided by some stuff that you were not expecting. In fact, he says it like this. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. He's saying, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But then he says something I love. He says, but take courage. Take heart. Be of good courage because I have overcome the world. So he's saying, look, you're going to face storms. You're going to face hardships. You're going to face challenges. You're going to face difficulties. But if you want your life to stand, then let me be your foundation. He said, let me be the foundation for the way you operate in your family. Let my words be the foundation for the way you interact with your friends. Not only your friends, but your enemies. Not only your enemies, but your frenemies. Anybody got some frenemies out there? You're like, I'm not sure. All right, let me be, my words be the foundation for the way you handle your money. Let my words be the foundation for the way you take care of your body and the way you choose your career and the way you operate in your career and in your emotional life. Let my words be the foundation for that, because when my words are the foundation for that, then your life will be strong. In fact, I want you to get this, because Jesus uses these parallels in this story and uses the exact same language over and over and over again. The only time there's a deviation in the story and the way he's describing what's happening is in the response of the wise man and the fool. Look at this real quick. He says this, verse 24. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not, That's the only difference between these two individuals. They both heard the word. They both were around the word. They both heard Jesus. They both absorbed what he said. But the second one did not put them into practice. And this person is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Now, if you're here today, you're hearing the words of Jesus. You're hearing them. You came to hear them. Because either you're already a follower of Jesus or you're at least curious to hear what Jesus has to say because there's some shaky stuff in your life and you're like, I need something. I need the Lord. So what I want to explore with us for just a couple minutes is the question, how do we practice what Jesus preaches? How do we actually take what he says and put it into practice? How do we live this thing out? How do we live it out on an ongoing basis? How do we operate our life so that it is sound and firm, grounded, anchored to the teachings of Christ? I'm going to give you three principles today. The first one is that we practice consistently. We practice consistently. If you're taking notes, you can fill that in. We practice consistently. There's a woman in our church who about a year ago decided she was going to run a marathon. And she had never run a marathon before, and she wasn't really running at that time, but she set out a goal. She said, I want to run a marathon. A marathon is a long, long way to run. If anybody's run a marathon, 26.2 miles. If you get up tomorrow morning and say, I'm going to run a marathon, you try to run that marathon tomorrow, it's not going to go well for you. Don't do that, right? She said, I'm going to train. I'm going to practice. She hired a coach, and the coach said, okay, you haven't been running, so you need to run just a little bit, all right? So we're going to start you off. Maybe you're running a mile. Maybe you're running 2 miles, but the key is you got to do it every day. You know, there are little breaks. You can take a day off here and day off there, but it needs to be consistent. It needs to be every day. You've got training days over and over and over, week after week after week, day after day after day. And guess what? When the weather goes bad, you still got to be out there. You've got to be consistent. When it's cold, you're out there. When it's hot, you're out there. When it rains, you're out there. When it sleets, you're out there. When it snows, when it hails, what? You're out there. You're consistent day after day. So day after day after day after day for weeks, for a whole year, the woman in our church was training for this marathon. She was training to make this thing happen in all kinds of conditions. And then a few weeks ago, she went out to California to run the marathon, the 26.2 miles. Well, I don't know if you remember what happened a few weeks ago in California, but they had record rains, record wind. They called it an atmospheric river. It was just like a mess out there. I mean, just absolutely crazy. And that was the weekend that she's supposed to run the marathon. So she gets out. Fortunately, the rain cleared up, but the winds are blasting. She gets out there and she starts running this marathon. And I'm just telling you, she's getting hit from wind off the sea and off the ocean, 20-mile-an-hour winds and headwinds. And but she had been practicing week after week, consistently, week after week after week. So there was a part of her that says, I've been through this before. I've done this before. I've run this play before. And she ran. She got to the 5 mile, then the 10 mile, then the 15 mile, then the 20 mile. That last 5 miles was along the PCH and the wind is coming off the ocean and she's just grinding, right? Well, guess what, y'all? 26.2 miles. She gets to the finish line. She throws up her arms. She celebrates. She made it because she had been consistent each and every day. What makes this story a little bit special at this place right here, right now, is that the woman I'm referring to, you might recognize her. This is Shannon Durio. This is the daughter of Pastor Jeff and Shirlene. And she's a member of our church. She told me this story. I said, I've got to use this story in a sermon. Can I please have this story? But it captures the essence of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. How do we build our life? How do we continue to build our life in Christ? We do it consistently. That means every day. I'm going to show you this really quick. This might be helpful. I'm not good at math. I'm not good at art. But I'm worse at math. Okay, so I might need some help. How many hours in a week? How many hours in a week? There are no hockey players, no mathematicians, and no artists. 168. I got 168. All right. I'm going with you. All right. 168. There's 168 hours in a week. All right? Now, let's say that we get 8 hours of sleep a night, right? I saw a bunch of young parents around here. I'm not counting you guys. I know you don't get 8 hours of sleep. But let's just say on average, 8 hours of sleep a night, that's 8 times 7, 56. I can do that. 56, right? So that leaves us with 112 hours in the week. Now, Let's just say that we, on average, we work 50 hours a week. Now, I know some of you are like, man, I put in 65 hours, you know, this week. But you were probably scrolling a couple of those hours, right? So I'm only going to give you credit for 50, okay? So 50 hours. We're just doing 50 hours. We work 50 hours. So that's two. That's 62. That leaves us with 62 hours in the week. After we've slept 8 hours a night, we've worked 50 hours. Now we have 62 hours left in the day. Here's my challenge to you. If you want to follow Jesus, you want to build a life on a firm foundation, here's my challenge. Give 7 of those hours to Jesus. 7 hours a week. 1 hour a day in silence and solitude. 1 hour a day in the scripture. 1 hour a day in the word. 1 hour a day listening to a sermon or doing a devotion. 1 hour a day with Jesus. That's consistency. Now, I know some of you are saying, man, I don't have an hour a day. I really don't. Well, if that's you, could you please take out your phone, hand it to the person next to you, have them check your screen time. Amen, somebody? Okay, we're just going to leave that alone. 1 hour a day. It's consistent. It's just little bit by little bit by little bit. If we want to be yoked to Jesus, as Pastor Jeff has been teaching us, if we want to be yoked to him, if we want our life to look like his, then we do what he did. Scripture says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, found a remote place, and went and prayed. That's what he did. That was his daily practice. Every day, spending time with the Lord. If you need to start with 5 minutes, start with 5 minutes. Move it to 10. Go to 15. Go to 30. But over time, consistency. Stay in it with the Lord. Here's the reality. Followers do consistently what fans do occasionally. I'm a fan of running, but I'm not a follower of running, right? So I can't run 26.2 miles. Followers do consistently what fans do occasionally. Okay, that's number one. Number two is this. Number two is how do we practice? We practice comprehensively. We practice comprehensively. So consistently means we do it every day. Comprehensively means we do it in every area of our life, all aspects of our life, in every corner of our life, we do it. Some of you may remember the story of the submarine Titan last summer. The story of the submarine Titan. It was a submarine that was a recreational submarine that was going down to the Titanic and showing people the Titanic. And it would, last July, it was under deep under the water, and out of nowhere, it just imploded. It just collapsed. Everyone in it just in a millisecond gone. And what happened, what they found out later, is that the designer of the submarine had decided to try to build it in a way that submarines aren't generally built. Generally, submarines are built with titanium hulls. They're very, very strong. But he tried to build it with titanium and carbon fiber because he wanted it to be more efficient and less expensive and all that. Well, it turns out that the carbon fiber, after going down in the water and coming back up, it became compromised. And so the whole submarine didn't have to be compromised. There were titanium parts to the submarine. But it just required one part to be compromised for the whole thing to collapse. Do you know that in your spiritual life, you are only as strong as your weakest commitment? In your entire spiritual life, you're only as strong as the weakest commitment that you make. So Jesus is saying, look, I want all of you. I want you to build your whole life on me, like every aspect of your life built on me. I want my words to inform every corner of your life. If you remember what Jesus said, he said, I want you to love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The question for you today is, what part of my life am I keeping to myself? What part of my life am I not building on Jesus? What part of my life am I holding on for me? If we want to follow Jesus, we do it consistently. If we want to follow Jesus, we do it comprehensively. If we want to follow Jesus, we do it, this is number three, last one, continuously. Continuously. Consistently means we do it every day. We do it all the time. Comprehensively means we do every aspect. Continuously means we just don't stop. We just keep going. Some of us have had times of consistency in our past where, man, we were just, you know, every day we were following Jesus, we were reading his word, and comprehensively, we were like turning over our whole life to him. But something came along and disrupted our flow. Something came along and stopped us in our tracks. My family and I, we were driving down to Destin, Florida on vacation. We saw these buildings, and they were heartbreaking, these abandoned structures. You can see them here. And What struck me about this is that there were some construction guys, construction workers, that were working consistently on those buildings. Every day they were working on those buildings. And they were working comprehensively. They were putting all the structures in place. The sewer, the foundation, the electrical, the HVAC, all of it. They were doing the whole thing. But at some point, because they ran out of money, who knows what happened? They stopped. They didn't continue. They did not keep moving forward. They just paused. They stopped. And now it stopped. And this is where some of us have found ourselves. From time to time, we're like, man, I used to be following Jesus with a lot of fire and a lot of zeal and a lot of joy and a lot of power. And I was following, but something happened. My life got disrupted. The tares and the weeds of this world got in the way. And now I'm like, yeah, I'm showing up for church, but man, I'm just not deep with God. My relationship is not strong. I'm not grounded in him in every aspect of my life. I've stopped. If that's you today, can I just tell you, the only thing you have to do is just get back up. Just start one more time. Because Jesus never stops. This is the beautiful thing about Jesus. He pursues you when you stop pursuing him. There's a wonderful proverb. I'm going to end with this. Proverb says, although a righteous person may fall seven times, what's he do? He gets up again. That's the only difference between the righteous person and the wicked person in this proverb. The righteous person is just somebody who gets up. The righteous person is not somebody who doesn't fall down. If that were the case, we're toast. All of us, we're done. We're out. We've all fallen. We've all fallen short. We've all struggled. We've all said, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to commit to you. And then, man, we blow it. And we get up. We go, man, I'm never doing that again. Jesus, I'm with you. And then we blow it again. But the only difference between the righteous and the wicked is they get up again. It's continuous. We say, all right, I'm going to get back to work. I'm going to repent. I'm going to repent. Like, God, I've sinned. I'm sorry. I give you my life. We repair when we've done damage. We've hurt people. We make it right. We apologize. We do what we need to do. Square things away. And then we start rebuilding. That's why we're here today. We have an opportunity today to build our life on the firm foundation. So the old song says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Church, I want to invite us today. Talk about an invitation. Jesus said it like this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking on the door of your heart right now. I stand at the door and knock. And if you just open the door, I will come in and sup with you. I'll have dinner with you and you have dinner with me. We're good. So I want to invite us today, whatever you've been struggling with, wherever you have fallen short of God, let's determine today. Let's follow him consistently, comprehensively, continuously, beginning now with Christ as our firm foundation. Bow your heads with me, will you? Father, thank you for this day, for your word, for your spirit, for the opportunity, Lord, to bow our hearts before you, to open our lives to you and allow you to come in. Pray for each and every person who's here today that is struggling, afraid, worried, anxious, or maybe they've just fallen short. Maybe they've stopped. I ask, Lord God, today that you would draw them back into your love, draw them deep into your embrace. We love you. We honor you. We praise you. Build our life on you today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.